Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
It's their home opener. They were fired up, and I thought defensively we were on our heels early.
Inside the 15, inside the 10, headed all the way into the end zone for the touchdown. Saquon Barkley.
We got back, kind of got our feet underneath of us a little bit and made some adjustments on the sideline.
Josh Allen looks for blocks. Going to try to run it in himself. Headed to the corner of the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Gives it to Singletary. Gets a good block. Singletary left side. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Devin Singletary, the motor.
Kind of a momentum booster for the offense. I think the defense sees it, and they're energetic about it, too. You know, we had a lot of guys come up to us, and, like, those third downs are huge, you know, making sure that we're staying on the field, giving those guys as much break as possible.
On first and 10 from the 21, and Manning, it is picked off. It is intercepted by Trent Murphy. Tipped by Ed Oliver right into the arms of Trent Murphy.
Really appreciate the fans, like I said, that showed up here. We heard them, heard you, and really appreciate you guys out there, and can't wait to get home in front of our fans.
I'm in New York.
One New York team.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's what that was at the end there. That's Allen saying, I am in New York.
Yeah, and he pointed and did one of these.
Yeah, that's what the picture looks like.
Right.
The picture yesterday, it looked like that, but I had not heard him say it yet.
Is that maybe the official sound effect of winking?
Maybe.
Totally.
Like,
yes.
I'm winking. I'm not thinking I want to wink, but when I go to make that sound, I wink. I don't know if I can make that sound without winking. Try it.
No, I will not try it. I will not make that sound. I have no interest in making that sound at all. Not even off the air. No interest. All right, so we're not taking victory laps yet, are we?
No.
The Bills? Like, we're not...
No.
How far do we want to take the idea that they're actually good? How convinced are we that they're actually good?
I guess I'm not that convinced. I like a lot of what's going on, but there's a long way to go, and we've got years by the side of the road where there's good starts that I think make it a little more challenging than maybe it is for some fan bases to really embrace it and just go full on in, like, oh, we're good now. See?
I respect the fan here right now who's measured.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the only way to go after two games. Like, you've just got to be, you can be excited, and why wouldn't you be excited?
I am definitely excited about it. I got a big week ahead of me here, but I can't wait for Sunday because I think it's going to be a really cool scene out there, and they've got a pretty flawed looking team coming in that they're a pretty big favorite against, and then New England is sitting there after that. Like, I'm as excited as I've been in a while, but there's always like some level of guard up about it.
One thing that comes to mind listening to those clips is like the Bills got touchdowns in their drives yesterday. They were long drives and they were touchdown drives. And while I want to be, you know me, right? Like I want to not lose sight of what the Giants are, you know, and trying to really assess the Bills. But you still have to execute, you know? You still have to execute those third down conversions, those plays inside the 20-yard line. Allen, with another rushing touchdown, those plays look so easy. I mean, just incredibly easy, those touchdown runs, like last week and then again yesterday. And so who you're playing is important in figuring that out, but you still have to get in, and they did that four times. Like, there really is not much dumb stuff to work, you know, to work with from this game, or really even from the other game. The other game, you had the turnovers, and that's what that was. You know, you just did not have a lot of Bills talk these 20 years or so is, why did they do this? You know, why did they call this play? Why did they kick? Why did they punt? Why did they do this? Why did they use the timeout they used there? You know, if you thought about how little of that we have, I mean, whether they're good or not is maybe still to be determined, but they are organized. These guys are pretty well organized so far. And that shows even in games against bad teams. You know, that's mm-hmm. so good teams look. They look organized.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that maybe stands out most to me from yesterday's game is that it seemed kind of easy. And that maybe that's really it's easy as a fan to maybe say that. I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. I'm sure they worked hard and prepared, and you know they were playing an NFL game. So I doubt that they would say it was easy. But they I think were so on top of everything that they were doing that it made it for a viewer just look like we're just better than you. We're better than you, and we're that's our game. Like it started right. I mean, the Giants scored, and the Bills didn't score on that first possession. They punted away, but then it was score, score, score. And as soon as the Giants challenged them again in the fourth quarter, score again. Just like, I'm keeping you over there for today. All right, you're not going to really be a nuisance to me. And that's a really impressive thing, I think, in almost any NFL game. And it gives me reason to hope that the Bills are on the right track to being really good. But I don't know yet. I'm going to need to see it. I'm going to need to see them play some more quality NFL teams than the Jets. I mean, the Jets, Sam Darnold has mono now. I don't know what kind of state he was in when they beat them. And they needed every ounce of what they had to pull that game out and come back. And the Giants are probably going to replace their quarterback maybe as soon as this week. So those are your wins, okay? I mean, full credit, you did it, and you made it look, I think, easy yesterday, but I don't think you're playing teams that are going to be a factor once we get to December. I maybe thought the Jets were going to be, but the injuries, have, especially to the quarterback, have probably taken them out of that already.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like two things at once. It's You want to know this stuff for your conversations. You want to know how to compare your wins versus somebody else's wins. Like Baltimore is 2-0 or whatever. You just want to sort of line it up like that. But you don't need to for any real purpose. You don't have to beat, you know, good teams necessarily. You just have to beat the teams you play. So it might not be this week when we get an answer, you know, any real evidence of that. In New England, I don't know. Nothing to lose. They might be so good that if you lose to them, you know, decisively, if you lose to them like the Giants lost to the Bills, it still might, that might not mean much either, because I don't know, maybe they're just like super, maybe they're just superior. You know, it's been true before, but I don't know. Like there's no rush here. There's no rush. You've got a season, and that's fresh air.
It is. And you know, look, if you can stand it, it's hard for me right now to ignore what's going on in the conference. Pittsburgh has lost Ben Roethlisberger for the year. Like that was probably a team maybe you weren't. Maybe you're thinking about the Ravens and the Browns more so than the Steelers, especially after week one. But still, like, you don't have to deal with him when you go there at the end of the year, and maybe you don't have to worry about them at all in any kind of a playoff race. Indianapolis has already lost Andrew Luck. Of course, we've known that for a while. But, you know, they're 1-1. The Chargers are injured, and, you know, they've had years before where they look really great on paper, and then the season starts, and it's just a close loss or two or three, and you're like, oh, man, what's happening to the Chargers? That really is what happened 2 years ago when the Bills made the playoffs instead of them. So it's and the Jets are without Darnold. So,
Cleveland's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to be thinking about that. I want to have a chance. If the Bills have lost these two games, I'm done. So this gives them a chance, and that makes it fun to talk about. And Cleveland tonight is interesting because if you know Cleveland, I guess it could go south. They had a terrible week one, but it probably won't. I mean, they're probably at least decent. And then if they are, you'd want to see that from them in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's a team you're going to be playing. Like, you have those games in the AFC North. You play them all. And you had, well, maybe you had three, and maybe now you have two teams that seem like real contenders there. You only play the one game against the South. You only play the one game against Tennessee in week five. So Houston, Indy, like, they're over there, whatever they do. And the Chargers are like, and the Chiefs, mm-hmm. you know, you don't play them. But the North, those are going to be big. The game in Cleveland in November, the Baltimore game here. I looked to see what Sunday night football was the day the Bills play Baltimore. I am telling you that. I don't remember the game, but it wasn't going to be. It didn't look bad. I looked at all of them. I looked at all the Sunday night games to see, like, what, you know, what, maybe? And, you know, there didn't seem to be anything too terrible. Maybe the Steelers are in there once or twice, and that could, who knows? Who knows?
Thinking about flex opportunities.
Yes, I am.
Right.
And, you know, within the story, this team is the story about the quarterback, and he is doing very well. And, you know, like, one thing about him, and this is what we talked about some on the post-game show, and it's that clip, again, we just played. Like, he just, what strikes me about Allen, as an outsider, right? I don't know him or anything. What strikes me about him is how at ease he seems to be about the whole thing. Like, maybe he's quick-witted. What that was at the press conference would be perhaps quick-witted. There's the comment that the sideline reporter made before the game yesterday, his quote from The Office, "I'm not superstitious, I'm a little stitious." I mean, that's funny. And so maybe he is just, like, really chill with the whole thing. And not that teams can really know what they're getting from these guys. They think they know some things, and sometimes they'll be right. Character stuff and personality stuff. But the guy just, as far as I know, he's like perfect for this so far, in that he just seems so at ease about it all. Now, I know that he was a very controversial draft pick, and there are lots of people who thought it was crazy. I would have to be considered one of them. It was kind of crazy that this player would be the 7th overall pick. And, you know, that's part of the story. And he would have heard and read, if he was the sort to do this, like, a lot of negativity about him, a lot of criticism about him. And, you know, people are different about that. Some people don't care. Some people are motivated by it. Maybe he's both of those things to different extents. You know, some people can really become flustered by it. Whatever the situation is, or whatever the criticism is about, maybe, I don't need to know the answer to this, but maybe he's like, he's a young guy, and he just sort of feels like, you know, he's very lucky, and he's got nothing to lose. But he just seems to have a personality here that I'm impressed with. Like, and if it's translated into his play, or if his play is some reflection of his style or his attitude, great. I mean, what would that be? It's a guy who, when he makes a mistake, he's going to stay on the road. You know, he's not going to drive off the road from it and just lose it. And that's good. That's the kind of thing the Bills would want from him, the kind of reaction. And so that's really kind of the story with him, is good and bad. You know, he's kind of like, he's a quarterback who will give you, he'll take you to extremes. In yesterday's game, there really wasn't anything bad. You know, what did we talk about all week last week? Well, these interceptions, and there could have been two other ones, and that's going to be a problem. This game, there just really wasn't anything like
right,
that.
Right. I think efficient is a word to describe his play in that game yesterday, and for their, you know, really for their entire offense. And that's just not, that is not a word that was used frequently, if ever, when talking about him before the draft, or even as last season was unfolding and as this offseason went by, that you would predict that he would be efficient. But that's what he's completing, 64% of his passes so far, which, given the way the league is trending, as far as that stat goes, is barely the middle of the league at this point. But it's still, it's a big improvement. It's 10% better than he was last year. It's only two games, but still, it's a big improvement. and these drives that he's at the helm for, all of their touchdown drives are 70 yards or more. There's 98 yards yesterday and 85 yards last week. I mean, they're going out for a spin here with this offense, and it's 10 plays and 11 plays, and like that's not what I would have predicted would be successful for Josh Allen. I would have predicted you'd get much more run out of a three-play drive that includes a 65-yard touchdown.
Yep.
You know, and that's not there yet. I still would expect that it will come. He had a great look at John Brown, really open yesterday, and missed him by a lot.
That's one play after this great play that he makes. Like, the next play is that one. And I said to you, couldn't we have just enjoyed that amazing one for one, more than one play?
Right.
But yeah, like, that didn't, you know, it didn't end up mattering, but
right, they still ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. So it didn't hurt him or them that he misfired on that one. But still, the efficiency that they are executing and he is executing a short passing game with is a surprise. I think if you told me they were hell bent on doing that in the summer, I think I said it any number of times. I think that's the wrong way to go because I don't think that's going to work. And so far through two games, it's working. So credit to them, credit to him. He I think, strikes me as someone who wants to learn and really work at proving everybody wrong, whether that's the motivation or not. I mean, eventually, if he ends up being really good, he's going to prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, he wants to make it.
Right, he wants to make
it. It's enough.
And is doing the work to make it, whatever the motivation is. And that's, you know, that's to his credit. That strides are being made, and yeah, I mean, it seemed to me even as early as last year that it was very believable that the team dug him, that they were reacting to him in a positive way. They were winning games, and he wasn't playing like he's playing now, but the feel around the team really seemed like, more to me, much more than the standard, yeah, we really like our guy. I think there's a real connection there, and
I think that's a McDermott area.
Yeah,
maybe like whether he's to credit for it or not, he would it would mean a lot to him. It would be this is pretty obvious. Like it would be important to him that nobody on the team just sort of like resist the Josh Allen experiment, you know, like that you don't say anything negative about him. You don't. I mean, I don't even want you to think it. And, you know, that's not a given on a team where you might have you know, a lot of veterans or just guys that don't always want to buy into your rookie. And so I think that has happened, and that's interesting to think about, like, well, how did – if this is right, there's certainly no sign of difficulty in this area right now, and they're winning. That makes it easier. But, like, how did that actually come to fruition? What did McDermott have to do in certain cases to get everybody to buy into that, you know? But that's, like, all the stuff that's the culture thing. That's what they – you know, that's what they're going for. That's what they've advertised. That's all the things that they've said that, you know, really, but that matter to them and so on. And so, you know, my thoughts on that have, I mean, I've said them many times. I just don't want to see good players sacrificed for that. And I just don't think it really differentiates teams in the NFL. And I guess, how are we going to decide ultimately whether it did here? You know, you'll never really be able to decide, I guess. People will think that it mattered. Other people will think that it mattered less. You're going to have a season here, and we'll just see what happens. But that would be something that would have been imperative, you know, for the Bills, right? To like, hey, I need you. Who knows how many times it even really needed to be said, but I need you to buy in on this here. And, you know, the Bills are – it's been so long since they've been good that you – like – guys can they're writing about this now. Guys can rally around the underdog thing. Like they are quintessentially an underdog, And now part of this story the last week or two is we're actually in New York. You know, you have the New York name, but we are actually, you know, part of that is that too. Like we are by definition, you don't even know where we are on a map, you know, stuff like that, that I think that they're probably using to some extent, but you know, what is the objective? 10 wins, the playoffs, things like that. And are they good enough to be able to do that? Like that will be the ultimate question and probably how most people decide whether the culture, you know, mission was successful. It's cool though. Like you needed these games for this, probably for this to be a year, and they got them, and they looked really good yesterday. They looked really good overall. So here we are.
Yep. They're in great shape coming home to play the Bengals, who are 0-2 and got hammered in their home opener, and they're favored by 6. Like that's where we are. Not even three, with just 2 weeks and a day into the season, and that's where we stand. And yeah, I mean, it was to me pretty easy to look at the schedule and go, good start is a necessity if you're going to have a good season. What it gets wrapped up inside of a good start and a good season is eventually it becomes determined at some point. And, you know, I don't know, there's not a signpost on the schedule that allows you to differentiate this from the other, but eventually you find out if you're a good team or not too. You know, that's as the year unfolds, you find that out, because you can have a good record and a good start. We know it. I mean, the Bills have had years where they've had good starts and ended up just not better than 500.
You're thinking about 2011.
Yep.
Where they were 3-0 and then finished 6-10. 5-11 or 6-10. Yeah, think about 2008, where they were 4-0 and finished below 500 as well, 6-10 or whatever that was. You know, so you have to get there.
Even in 2014, they were 5-3. In 2016, they were 4-2. I have this in my phone because I made note of it when they started 5-2 under McDermott in 17, and they ended up getting that home. I mean, home enough. They got to 9, and they made the playoffs, and that's the year that broke the drought. But it was like this list of recent, you know, good starts. And, you know, they're not all as good as the other, but, you know, you've had years where you had reason to be optimistic as it got to October, and you ended up just, you know, with nothing in the end. So we'll see if this is different, you know. I can't tell you that it feels different than any of those years. You want it to because of Allen, because of Allen's importance to the organization moving forward, because in addition to trying to establish yourself as a good team and make the playoffs and actually climb the ladder to the point where you're an actual contender at some point here, you need to have him come through as well. Like, so you're running two races here concurrently this season. One is get enough wins to make the playoffs, and the other is establish that Josh Allen is my quarterback. And so far, I mean, all the thumbs are up.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
803-0550. We'll have Micah Hyde at 4. Buffalo Bills football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Well, not only is it kind of a momentum booster for the offense, I think the defense sees it, and they're energetic about it too. You know, we had a lot of guys come up to us, and like, those third downs are huge, you know, making sure that we're staying on the field, giving those guys as much break as possible, you know, at the end of the day, trying to control the time of possession, making sure that we take care of the football, and those are all recipes to success there.
Josh Allen saying some things. I liked a point Jeremy made this morning about the Bills, and he said, Howard was talking about something, and Jeremy said, I just realized that, like, whether they win the so-called field position battle or not doesn't matter. to me. Like, this is one of these sort of cliches that Bills coaches have talked, like, held up as accomplishments. We won the field position battle. We won time of possession, you know, like things like this. And Jeremy's like, well, didn't the Giants pin the Bills at the 2-yard line and the Bills went 98 yards? Like, who cares who wins the field position battle? And that's right. Like, this is something we've heard the Bills say over the years. And, you know, we're like, who cares? I need touchdowns. I don't need to worry about the field position. I need to score and win. And this game was just fine. You know, it was just fine. 28 points, 4 touchdowns. I never thought about the field position at all in this game, right? Because they were the better team, and they just went down the field. Four long drives. So I like that.
Yep. Yeah, and that's, you know, to go with two from last week, too, eventually. It took them until, you know, later in the game to do it. But, they, you know, six touchdown drives, and they're all 70 yards or more. I just think that's a big accomplishment for a team that I was not expecting to be efficient in that way with the football. I thought lightning strikes would be the way, and I'm still expecting that to come. I think Allen and Brown, you know, they missed on one yesterday. I think those opportunities are going to be there for them, and he'll hit his share of them. So you know, it won't all be these long extended drives, but it's good that they're happening, and it's good that you're sort of establishing a part of the field that for Allen was not really available and not really useful last year. So far, I mean, the Bills went out and got John Brown and Cole Beasley, and they were not the best receivers in the NFL by any stretch, or even the best guys available in free agency. But they were guys that were certainly more accomplished than what they had in-house, and they were able to get them to come here, both of them, and they're both serving the purpose. You know, like, Beasley is important underneath on that stuff, and Brown is just kind of all over the place. Like, he's catching short stuff, he's catching crossers, he's open down the field. Like, he's doing a great job.
Let's take some calls. We have Brian on WGR. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Yeah, one of the things I noticed about Allen this year, as opposed to last year, is he's keeping his eyes down the field when we talk about cliches, but it is true, and he's stepping up in the pocket. So I see him manipulating the pocket better than last year. So you don't see, like, the play in Green Bay where he turns his back to the defense and he's spinning around and he runs right into a sack or he throws across the body. So I definitely think, combined with the line, I definitely see him stepping into throws more. So that has made him more effort. The other thing I see is the Bills' dedication to getting some underneath weapons to make it easier for Allen to complete passes is starting to pay off. I mean, they've invested heavily in tight end, and you referenced Beasley and Brown, and then even with Singletary underneath. So the completion percentage is up. And so now, on 3rd and 7, we have plays that just work, right? We don't hand off to Frank Gore on a draw play to try and catch the defense, or we have to do the hut to see if they can draw them off sides. On 3rd and 7, now we just throw for 8 yards. Which is good. We're starting to function like a normal offense. And to Mike's point, yeah, field position. Okay, we're pinned at the 2. In the NFL now, all it takes is one throw, and now you're not pinned at the 2-yard line anymore. And so finally the Bills are operating like that. You don't see the draw plays on 3rd and 8 just to see if we can make it manageable for a better punt. He's looking down the field, and he's throwing with more accuracy now. And so that's much appreciated, much observed.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. I think we do see a new attitude or a new strategy with the offense. And there's just a lot of things working at the same time. I mean, you have to be good enough for this to be noticeable. Like, you have to have the ball, right? But I don't know, like, the passes they threw, 18 straight pass plays it was, right, the first game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here, One of the things about the Bills that for years has driven me crazy is the things he's talking about here about being so conservative. And I don't really want to use that word for them right now. I think this was probably a really easy game yesterday, but it hopefully is a good sign. I mean, it hopefully is something we can count on from them, that they will be, you know, more willing to throw it. It's why you draft Josh Allen. It's why you don't need to do that if you're not willing to do the other thing. So, yeah, I'm encouraged, and their offense seems to work.
Yeah. I'm glad the caller mentioned that, you know, the stepping up in the pocket, like noticing that. I mean, and the reason I like that you brought it up is that, you know, the middle of the line is all new and I think is doing a good job. When they're getting pressure, it's around the, like Cody Ford had a tough day dealing with speed around the edge. And when they're getting heat, it's a lot of that. The middle, which is where you step up into, I think has been, you know, pretty secure. I'm sure it's not been, you know, perfect, but I think it certainly is strikes me as improved from last year. And that's, you know, that's a big part of it. You've got, you know, there's a synergy there. You've got a quarterback who is learning more, has a better idea on what to do, has a better handle on the offense. A coach running the offense was a better handle on what this guy is capable of and what is more favorable for him to be asked to do. And then you've got better personnel right in front of him helping make it happen. That's good timing all around, you know? So I just the opportunity to give Mitch Morse and the guards, Spain and Feliciano, some credit is there when you talk about stepping up, and I think it's deserved.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Brian. Marco is next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say how much I love listening to you. I live down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's always great to listen to WGR and keep up with the Bills. I've been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
So, I especially love how you question if anything matters or not. That's great. So I have a question for you on if this matters. So I want to talk a little bit about attitude and culture. I know you don't like to talk about it too much, but let me give you an observation. I've been living in Charlotte for a long time. I was here for both teams that went to the Super Bowl, and there was something about the attitude those teams had, the culture that you could feel. It was palpable. They were jovial. You know, the first team that went to the Super Bowl didn't exactly have a huge amount of talent, but they got the job done, and the teams were very well-liked, and everybody seemed to get along. Have you seen, paid attention to the body language that is Cam Newton for the past couple years? And do the results, do they carry over? Because I believe that does have an effect on the team, and it's I've observed. So I'd like to get your opinion on what you think with the attitude and how that plays a role.
I mean, attitude is important in life, but I think when you're winning, you look happy. I don't know if teams that go to Super Bowls all are friendly. It's just kind of what we think. It's kind of what it looks like. We watch their games, and they're winning more than they're losing, and winning teams celebrate. And winning teams do not, you know, obvious ways in those differences. And you're talking about a player in Newton who took a team to the Super Bowl, and now he looks broken down. You know, he looks like he's dealt with maybe one or two too many injuries. And so I would think that your attitude very easily could change. You know, your outlook on everything could change. But I'd still want a quarterback the caliber of Cam Newton, you know, to be my quarterback. And I wouldn't, you know, kind of my position on all that is, well, I'm not going to not have him because I might think that his attitude isn't perfect. And really, I think that from examples I take only when they're losing. You know, like they've won a lot of games, and so has he. So I don't know if I'm really answering your question, but I think what happens in that conversation, everybody who watches sports, everybody who has a job, everybody understands why one is better than the other, why it's better to have a good attitude, why it's better to, you know, get along, those kinds of things in your job and in your life. Everybody knows that. What I want to talk about when we talk about it is, to what extent is it making a difference in your games? Are you winning because of it? And it just always seems to me more like it's you're going to point to it after you're winning.
Yeah, I don't. I know the caller said you don't like talking. I love this subject because I think it's even as much as it you end up sort of chasing your own tail around on it to an extent. I just still think it is very interesting. And we have a football team that is maybe overly emphasizing it. So I feel like we're sort of a flat. They drafted Josh Allen in part because I think largely they thought he would fit in with how they want to be. and who they want to be. And so we've got this, I feel like we're in a lab here, and then the Bills are this experiment. And like I love having a front row seat for it to talk with everybody about it. With all that said, Cam Newton looks defeated right now because he's broken. And if he weren't broken, he'd be making better plays. And then his body language would be good, and his team wouldn't look like they're sagging because of him looking broken and defeated. So it starts with his health, is what it starts with. And that's really, that to me should be pretty obvious. He looks to me like someone who could go Andrew Luck at this point.
The point also assumes that either every other player on the team or almost every other player on their team is taking their cue from that or their lead from that. And I would never assume that. I mean, the Carolina Panthers were a yard away from winning Thursday night. And it's just like these games come down to little tiny things. And when they do, well, one team didn't try hard enough or wasn't serious enough or this or that. And the other team has good culture and everybody's happy. And like, I don't see sports that way. I don't see pro sports that way. Mostly. Thanks, Marco. Call us again. 803-0550 is the number. We've got Micah Hyde coming up at 4. And we'll be talking about the Bills throughout the day, of course, like we always do. And we've got other little things around the league that are interesting. Not little. Ben Roethlisberger out for the season for Pittsburgh. Drew Brees is hurt. The game tonight is interesting. Eli Manning might be getting benched. We'll talk about all this stuff here along the way, of course. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
We have to do better, be more disciplined. We had too many penalties today. We have to do better on third downs, and we'll just keep drives alive. And, you know, the rest will take care of itself. Today was one of those days we had to fight through adversity, and this team was really tested.
That is Teddy Bridgewater. He takes over in New Orleans. They have tough games coming up, tough defenses. They lose yesterday at the Rams to go to 1-1. Drew Brees out 6 weeks or so, maybe longer. And so we lose Brees and Roethlisberger the same day. Two guys that just seem like they're never... Roethlisberger's had some injuries,
he's had
but...
Brees, he just plays them all.
If you take Eli Manning out, which might happen... then be really amazing for those three guys. Manning's never injured. He's not hurt now either, but those three guys all just like stop playing the same week. What could happen? The Giants coach, Pat Shurmur, today admitted, like, we're talking about it. It sounds like people think he wants to take Manning out, but the owner and maybe also the GM don't. So...
That sounds promising. That's kind of what happened the last time they took Eli out, right? They took him out, and then like the owners got involved and put him back in.
Put him back in, fired the coach.
Right.
Here's Dennis with us. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis. Are you there?
Okay. I had lots of questions for that guy.
Oh, yeah?
Now what do I do? Jim is with us. Hello, Jim.
Ask Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I just wanted to comment on our O-line play. I'm really excited about what they did with the O-line this year. That run Singletary scored that touchdown on, Morris and Spain actually obliterated the corner and the outside linebacker on that side when they scored that touchdown.
And the tight end. No, that's McKenzie I'm thinking of. McKenzie's run.
Knox.
Yeah. McKenzie's run, too. I mean, they're just – I mean, Morris – obliterated them. So I'm really excited about that. I know that's the foundation, and Josh seems more comfortable with them. Like the one caller said, being able to step up in the pocket and throw the ball. So I'm really excited about our O-line and what we got going on this year. We got a couple games coming up that are going to be tough with the Bengals and the Patriots, but I think we're looking good this year.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah. How about the Dolphins? Is that one of the tough games? No. The Dolphins have been outscored 102-10 in two home losses, 43-0 yesterday. And Joe looked up the worst point differential in NFL history. It's actually a team in a 14-game season. The winless Bucks, when the Buccaneers came into the league.
76, that is, right?
Minus 281, maybe. And for a 16-game season, it's the Colts, the 81 Colts, minus 274 or thereabouts. So the Dolphins are more than, well, they're about a third of the way there.
Minus 92 through 2 weeks.
I wonder what Ryan Fitzpatrick is thinking. Today, now he's been on losing teams. I just wonder if, you know, if it's different. Today Armando Salguero had at the Dolphins how their coach, Brian Flores, was asked if the Dolphins are taking calls on Fitzpatrick. Like, part of the thing down there is, like, there's always some new trade idea. Jay Glazer mentioned Kenyon Drake yesterday. Like, like anybody could be – Minkah Fitzpatrick last week.
Right.
Like, anybody could be traded. And so the coach today was asked if that includes Fitzpatrick. And he said, we take calls every day. Like, he just took, he put it like that. He wasn't specific. He's like, we're taking calls every day. And then Armando tweeted how Flores, like, repeated that a few times. And then later on in the press conference said, but we haven't had any conversations about Fitzpatrick. So maybe, like, no one has called about him, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's thinking being there. Like, he was, how close was he to not playing? You know, he had this opportunity and took it. And it's just kind of sad.
Yeah. I mean, if that's how it's going at home. I mean, who you're playing matters. They played Baltimore and New England, and I don't have their schedule open in front of me, but whatever. They've been outscored by 92 points in two home games. So and he had, what did he have, back-to-back pick sixes yesterday, Fitz, on, I think it might have been consecutive throws. Even just, oh, man. You don't have to. I do. I feel like you got to feel for a guy like that. It's just in that kind of spot. I mean, he's always been a gamer. He's an all-time good teammate. Like, guys will tell you, Fred Jackson, Eric Wood tell you, like, they never played with somebody they admire more for how he worked at it and how much he puts into it. But to be on that level of a sinking ship has got to be tough.
You see the line this week at Dallas?
20?
21. Oof. Dallas is favored by 21 at home against Miami. Micah Hyde when we come back here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.